Well, everybody, welcome to episode 86 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to talk a lot of boys basketball tonight as the state tournament is underway at Wells Fargo Arena. Both Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial have moved on to Thursday's semifinals in Class 4A with exciting quarterfinal victories. And we'll be breaking down both of those games with a couple of special guests later on. We were hoping to have Centennial assistant coach Bobby Sanquist on today to talk about the Jaguars' win over Davenport North last night. And we're also going to discuss Bobby's induction into the Hall of Fame later this week. But because of practice and film and the scouting report and a team meal, we just weren't able to make it work with Bobby. So we'll try to get him on next week to recap the state tournament. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is the head coach of Ankeny. And earlier today, he guided the Hawks to a 68-54 victory over Iowa City West in the lone upset of the Class 4A tournament thus far. He's Brant Carlson. Brant, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Feeling pretty good, man.
Hey, I'll bet. Well, congratulations on the win. I know you don't get much time to celebrate this victory because you obviously have another tough opponent to prepare for in tomorrow's semifinals. But wow, what a game. You know, what can you say about your team's performance?
Well, it's awesome, obviously, and exciting to see them celebrate their success. And there's been a lot of guys that have come before them, too, that I think of a lot and what those guys went through to help these guys be where they're at today. So for me, it's a lot of reminiscing and just really proud of the program as a whole and excited for, you know, the opportunity tomorrow.
Well, your team certainly got key contributions from several different guys, but nobody had a bigger day than Braxton Bayless. Your senior point guard poured in a career-high 41 points and grabbed 10 rebounds, and he had 18 of those points in a game-ending 25-11 run. And I don't know about you, but I've been to a lot of state tournaments over the years. I don't know if I've seen a better individual performance than that one.
Well, thanks for that. I would agree. He just really put us on his back for a large portion of the game. And, you know, he's a really special guy in the sense that he's understood how much people have done for him, I think, as he's come to Ankeny. And I think almost his way of giving back was that performance, his way he kind of acted. He was just so engaged in what we were trying to do. And, you know, he wanted to find his teammates, but he also wanted to get us there. So I think he did the right thing. And a lot of free throws, too, you know, in big moments, and he played in, you know, he's done almost all year, played every minute. So, you know, what else can you say?
He seems like a pretty humble kid too. I know he told me after the game, you know, just another game for me.
yeah, he's pretty funny that way. I think he's being honest with that. He always feels at home on the basketball court, and that's where he feels the most confidence in his life. And we're kind of hoping that he'll find confidence in other things too as he gets older. But what a day for him and his family, and I know his dad was really proud and. We're proud too and excited to move on.
Well, this was a second straight game where he just really took over when your team appeared to be in serious danger because you guys fell behind 13-4 early on and looked like you might, you know, get run out of the gym. So did he kind of say, you know, hey, let's go like you did in that Sioux City East game, or did you have to, you know, give him the, hey, Braxton, you need to take over the game sign?
No, he just pretty much said, I gotcha, coach, and I'll do my thing. And, you know, I think he got a little confidence. I think our guys and their ability to move without the ball help get their big out of the lane, and that was a huge factor for us. And again, just seeing the ball go in the basket a bunch was good. Really for all of our guys, I think it was just kind of settling in a little bit. And we've had a few instances like that this year where falling behind and had to climb back. So I guess ultimately for us, the experience paid off. And proud of our kids again for just being resilient and tough and rebounding when they need to. And late in the game, taking layups, not pulling it out, being timid. They just kind of went on to finish it. So good overall effort, and we have a huge one tomorrow.
Well, Iowa City West is a team that is known for their stingy defense. You know, I thought they'd at least be able to slow him down a little bit. You know, did they defend Braxton the way you thought they would?
Yeah, they did. And, you know, I've had a chance to watch a little bit of the game, just kind of wanted to get a feel for what happened. And they were trying. They were trying to double him. They were trying to be in the alley. But he was just so quick getting to where he wanted to go that it was a foul most of the time. And I thought he could have been at the free throw line more. I know he shot 19, but I thought he could have shot 30 of them. So, you know, he was on a different level today. That's all I can say. And, again, his teammates hit a three or two in there, to cut 1-3, I think, to stretch things out, got a couple of layups. So, I mean, we moved well enough that they had to honor some of that. But at the end of the day, he was just better than them, and that was awesome.
Well, his ability to finish around the rim is just amazing. From where I was sitting today, there's a lot of times, you know, when, like, he'd get up there and Bronze would be right there, and you'd think, oh, he doesn't have an angle there, but he'd find a way to get the ball in the basket. And how he does it, yeah. I don't know.
I don't either. It's in his family history, I think. So it's just a special gift he has, and I'm glad he's on our team.
Well, I mentioned that you guys got off to a slow start. Evan Braun scored 15 points in the first quarter as Iowa City West built a 21-15 lead. Nolan Otten got into some early foul trouble, and he ended up playing only 9 minutes before fouling out. Mm-hmm. But you had some other guys like Braden Simonson and Ron Mamouya who really stepped up and helped keep Braun's in check the rest of the game, didn't you?
They did. It was a collective effort. And I really think it was interesting at halftime. They you know, the kids were sitting there talking, but they're all saying, he's tired. And I thought, we didn't see that as coaches, but it was good that they were aware of that. And those three guys just said, you know, that's all we got to do is try to keep wearing him down. And I think he scored 10 points the rest of the way and got some fouls on him too, which is huge. And it's neat to see young people get the bigger picture. You know, Nolan could have certainly been, you know, disappointed in his performance ultimately stat-wise, but he didn't do that. He just kept encouraging his teammates. And those young guys came in and helped him out. And, again, we were just fortunate they didn't hit threes at the end of the day from a strategy standpoint.
When I was talking to a friend of mine after the game, and he made the comment that the way the game was being called today with a lot of fouls, that Nolan really didn't have a chance, did he?
He did not, and I felt like the one he fouled out on was the best defense of the night. He kind of let the guy fall and get out of his way, and they called him for the foul, so what did he do? But, yeah, they called it very tight on both sides, I guess, and we were fortunate to kind of get a few more free throw attempts.
Well, I know you guys don't play a lot of zone, but against a guy like Braun, is that something that you consider doing?
No, only because we just haven't been very good at it. You know, I think our team takes a lot of pride in guarding people, personal responsibility, so that's kind of in their makeup. And zone, I think, kind of gets them out of that focus. That would have been, you know, we played some zone concepts with some of our defenders, but at the end of the day, we're pretty much a one-on-one defensive team because of the fact that these guys love it, and I think they just play a little bit more consistent and sharp. So I would love to say we were thinking about it, but no, we weren't.
All right. Well, your team ended up winning the rebounding battle by a 28-25 margin. You know, did you think going into the game that you could compete with a team like that on the glass?
No, and I never have. You know, when we've played Dowling and different teams too, it's, you know, can we stay within 10? You know, so that's great to hear that. I know Ryan Crandall had a ton of boards in there, some big rebounds for us. Was really, really good. And I think at the end of the day, you know, a lot of their shots were either Braun's making a basket or shorter shots. They weren't getting those longer rebounds, so we had a chance to get them. But no, that's a great stat line for us to win that. That was obviously a huge factor.
Well, your post defenders, you know, certainly received a lot of help from your other defenders because you guys really sagged into the paint. And Iowa City West only made 2 of 15 3-pointers. And it looked like you guys were more than happy to let a couple of their players fire away from the outside.
Yep.
Is that right?
That was exactly what we were going in understanding. If they were going to hit threes, we were probably going to be in trouble, you know, because we had to try to take him away. And Braxton and Brecken in particular just did a wonderful job of being there on a double, recovering back to their guy without giving him an angle to the rim. And then Jordan, I thought, did a great job just not letting guys get easy looks on the perimeter. So, you know, it worked out. Sometimes your plan works out, sometimes it doesn't. It worked out this time, and you'll take it.
Well, even with Braxton's huge game, you need a couple other guys to step up for you on offense. And you got some key baskets from Brecken Manis and Ryan Crandall. Brecken went 4-4 from the field and had 12 points, while Crandall added 6 points, including a big drive to the basket with about a minute left. Mm-hmm. You know, those two guys have really been pretty clutch for you, haven't they?
Very, very good. And, you know, a lot, the big games of the year, if you go back and think about it, those two guys were standouts in that too. I remember at Dowling, Brecken was perfect from the field, had 19 points. So those guys have fulfilled a lot of roles for us in different ways. And, you know, it'll be someone different tomorrow. It always has been. So in order to continue to advance, you need some people to kind of do things that maybe the other team isn't expecting.
Well, maybe tomorrow will be Jackson Smith. Today you guys were able to win despite getting just 2 points from Jackson, and he's your second leading scorer.
Yep.
He got into a little bit of foul trouble early on and ended up playing just 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, is that just kind of a matchup thing? Is that why he didn't play as much as he normally does?
I think just the way the game was going. And we've had other instances this year where different guys have been in that kind of situation. It's tough to see a senior struggle. But I think the fouls hurt him a little bit and just kind of got out of some rhythm. And the fact Ryan was playing really well and just kind of defensively the matchups was pretty good. But, you know, we fully expect him to come back. We wouldn't be here without him as far as the look at the sub-state game, how well he played and how well he's played over his three-year career. So it's just one game, hopefully, from that standpoint. We get two more opportunities to kind of get a comfortable, if you will, on that floor, and we expect him and our team to continue to improve and get better.
Well, of course, this was Anki's first trip to state since 2012, and I thought you guys had a great crowd down there today. What'd you think of the crowd?
Awesome. Thank you to all of them that came down and those that were supporting us online and all those different things. I know our teachers weren't able to come down, but hopefully tomorrow night they will. And Anki loves success like any community, and we're just thankful for them and appreciate all their care and support for our guys.
Well, I just heard a little while ago, though, that the Nebraska State tournament will be played without any fans because of the coronavirus. Wow. And the NCAA also announced that the entire tournament will be played without fans now. Wow. Now, if you're like me, Brant, you've probably been preoccupied and haven't kept up on all the latest news with the coronavirus. Right. But do you have any concerns at all about, you know, the rest of this tournament being played, you know, this week as usual?
I would certainly think we, as Iowans, we would stay tough and strong and believe in our, I guess, the care and concern that we have for each other. If we're sick, we're not going to be around other people and all those different things. And I'm a really strong believer in the Lord and that the fact that we're going to be protected from that stuff too. So that from my standpoint, I feel very confident in our state and what they're doing, at least looking out for us.
Well, there have also been some college conference tournaments that have announced that they'll be played without fans, and the Ivy League tournament, you know, won't even be played at all.
Wow.
You know, now, this has been a rapidly evolving story. So if the Iowa High School Athletic Association, you know, announced tomorrow that the games would go on but without any fans, I'm sure you'd go along with it, but it'd be strange, wouldn't it?
Be strange and I guess disappointing, obviously, too, because you want to be able to celebrate with people. But I guess we're at the mercy of whatever they decide and all those things. But again, I feel very confident in the decision makers. We'll do the right thing.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest's premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, we're visiting with Ankeny Boys basketball coach Brant Carlson after the Hawks' exciting win today over Iowa City West. And Brant, your team will now play two-time defending state champion Cedar Falls in the semifinals on Thursday at 8:15. The Tigers advanced with a 64-62 victory over Dowling Catholic. You know, what did you think of that game?
Well, very well played on both ends, and two really, really good teams, a lot of talent on the floor. You know, Cedar Falls has a ton of experience, a lot of guys back from last year that played some at least, and they've had a great season. So, our coaches are working really hard this afternoon, and we'll all put something together tonight and all those things. I think at the end of the day, when you're in the Final Four, I mean, scouting reports are huge and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, how well are you playing? You know, and I feel like, you know, if you've competed with Iowa City West, you can compete with Cedar Falls too, because those two teams play this year with a 2-point victory, I think, or 1-point victory by Cedar Falls. So, you know, we've scrimmaged them before. We've played them in the past. They're very, very good. But, you know, the matchup isn't perfect. Like it never is for us, I don't believe. So our guys will, I know they'll go after it.
Well, Cedar Falls has really cranked out a lot of talent in recent years. A.J. Green was the star of the team 2 years ago. Of course, now he's the player of the year in the Missouri Valley Conference. Logan Wolf and Jack Campbell were the stars of last year's team, you know, but they've also graduated. Mm-hmm. But there hasn't been any drop-off, has there?
Doesn't feel like it. I mean, when you look at their talent level is huge. The quarterback hit inside is 6'9 or 10, and their point guard 6'4 going to Truman. So, I mean, they've got talent up and down the roster and guys that were playing very confident today, it looked like, and some younger brothers of the guys that you mentioned. So it's – they've got a nice thing going, obviously, and their coach is really good, and they run a ton of stuff. It's a college kind of scheme, if you will, in the sense of how they run their offense. So we got a lot of work to do, but it'll be fun, too. I mean, they still have to guard us, and hopefully we can put some pressure on them, and it'll be fascinating to see how it goes.
Well, no, you haven't fully developed your scouting report yet, but, you know, in general, what's going to be the key to beating them?
I think, you know, for us – transition game. Can we get out in space and do some things so they don't set up their defense? I think that's a huge factor. The other thing would just be defensively. Can we slow them down? Can we get them out of rhythm? I thought Dowling did a good job in the end of third, fourth quarter of kind of getting into their pace a little bit. And those will be two keys for us.
Well, Cedar Falls has a really balanced team. They've got a lot of guys that can score, don't they?
They do. I think we looked at their perimeter players, and only one guy was a guy that shot under 40% from three or something close to that. So, it's going to be tough, no question about it. But they use their guards are more using their bigs versus what we face today. So it's just we'll bring a new challenge, and I don't know. I mean, it's just we're just thankful to be in the position that we are in, and you got to play who's in front of you.
Well, I'm sure Cedar Falls, scouted your game as well, and then they saw what Braxton did to Iowa City West defense. You know, how do you think they might try to defend him?
If it goes by what we saw today, I mean, they ran three or four different defenses. So, man, 1-3-1, 2-3, 3-2, we're going to see it all. I don't think there's any question about it. So, we're going to need some different guys to step up. Our perimeter shooting game is going to have to get a little bit more sharp and consistent, and I'm sure they're going to leave a few guys open. So, we've been talking to our guys a ton about that opportunity, and they'll be ready for it.
Well, Brandon, I did want to get your thoughts on the other semifinal matchup between Centennial and Waukee. You know that your team is going to play one of those schools on Friday in either the championship game or the third place game. So how do you see that matchup?
Well, I mean, it was a 12-point or 8-point game, I think, early in the year. You know, I've said all along, I think Centennial is the best team, you know, the defensively the best team. I sat by a bunch of Waukee people last night that they didn't want to play Centennial, you know, again, because they know how good they are. So, you know, it's going to be a battle. Obviously, Waukee's got two special players and a good team and coach and all that stuff. So, I mean, I would choose Centennial like I've picked them all the way through. And, man, I was telling our coaches on the way home today, is like, no matter what happens in our game, look, we potentially would have to play either one of those two teams. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you told me after your team lost to Centennial for the second time last month that your guys were hoping to get another crack at them. You know, how crazy would it be to have it being the championship game?
Yeah, it would be nuts, obviously. So, yeah, one game at a time. But at the same time, if you think about it, it would be a pretty unique opportunity for our community and all those things. So, yeah, it would be interesting.
Well, one advantage that your opponent will have on Friday is that they had a day off today while you'll be playing in your third game in 3 days.
Right.
A couple of your guys, Braxton and Brecken, played all 32 minutes today. Right. Jordan Cum played 29 minutes. Do you think your guys can hold up for 3 days?
Well, they're going to have to if they want to win it. You know, I think that's the reality of it. I mean, we knew going in that was going to be a physical task and something they've never had to do before. So, you know, at the end of the day, it would be a special story to tell. We've talked a lot about that in the sense of what kind of story do you want to tell. So I have a faith in our guys and their high school kids. They seem to be pretty resilient, you know, in the sense of fatigue and all those things. So I think they'll be okay.
All right, Brent. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. I know it's a busy day for you. You got a lot of work to do, so I appreciate it. Good luck with the rest of the tournament.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, cool sculpting, laser hair removal, forever young photofacials, halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, my next guest is a former Ankeny basketball standout who was a starter on the last Hawks squad that played in the state tournament in 2012. He helped Ankeny to back-to-back third-place finishes in Class 4A before going on to have a great college career at Truman State, where he and his twin brother Corey both starred for the Bulldogs. He is Cole Myers. Cole, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you
happy
bet.
To be here.
Oh, you bet. Well, I know you're watching this year's state tournament very closely, so I'll get your thoughts on the Ankeny and Centennial games here in a little bit. But first, I wanted to reminisce with you about some of your memories of playing at state. Does being down there at the well this week, does that bring back a lot of memories for you?
You know, it really does. I mean, it's a dream to be down there and playing at this time of the year. You dream of playing there as a kid growing up, and potentially winning a state championship with some of your best friends. I was fortunate to play 6 games there over my junior and senior years, and I wish it was more.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk about some of those games here. In 2011, you guys advanced to the semifinals before losing a heartbreaker to Des Moines Hoover at the buzzer. Well, wasn't it Kelly Madison who hit a shot in the final seconds to win it?
It was Kelly, yeah. I believe he hit that buzzer beater, and I think I even got called in on a reach and foul as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, it was like a shot from right around like the free throw circle, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Well, then your team bounced back with a 76-70 win over Iowa City West in the third place game. And I looked it up, and I'd forgotten that Grant Lang had 32 points in that game. I guess he didn't want to end his career with another loss, huh?
That's right. Grant had a great game that day. That's what's nice about that third place game is you get to come back and play one more time. So it was nice to be able to send the seniors out on a win with Grant and the other seniors.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of talent on the court that day. I think there were 5 guys from your Ankeny squad who went on to play in college. And that Iowa City West team featured a couple of sophomores, Jeremy Morgan and Dondre Alexander, who were just beginning to tap their potential. And Wyatt Lowhouse was a freshman on that team. I just remember there being a lot of talent on that court and being a really fun, entertaining game.
There really was a lot of talent on that floor that day. It's funny because I think everyone was thinking this was the preview and the possibility for next year's state championship game. And I think it should have been, but we obviously dropped that game to Sioux City West or Sioux City East in the semis.
Right.
So, yeah.
Just didn't work out. Well, yeah, we'll talk about your senior year now. You guys did go undefeated all the way up to the state tournament. You again reached the semifinals before losing to Adam Woodbury and that Sioux City East team 60-56 in double overtime. And that was obviously the game that ended your championship dreams. You know, do you think about that game very often?
Yeah, a lot. It's can be a nightmare to this day. Yeah, it was tough. It's tough. tough to talk about.
I'll bet. Well, you guys, you held a 43-38 lead after three quarters, and then you held the ball for much of the final period as Sioux City East refused to come out of its zone defense. You guys ended up scoring just 2 points in the fourth quarter, and they were able to tie it up and force the game into overtime. And you were one of three Yankee players who eventually fouled out. Now, I remember because of how that fourth quarter played out that there were some people who suggested that maybe Iowa High School basketball needed a shot clock. And I know the Yankee boys were in a similar situation this year in a game where they held the ball for about 4 minutes in the fourth quarter. You know, so what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it would be a good idea to have a shot clock in the high school game?
That is the thing about even talking about that Sioux City East game, the fact that I fouled out and I wasn't able to be out there on the court, I think it was really early into that overtime, that first overtime out of the two. But I wasn't able. I was a senior that year. I wasn't able to be out there and win the game or have a chance to win the game. And that tears me up.
I'll bet.
But as far as shot clock goes, I mean, it's a must. But who knows if we're going to ever get there, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think with the expenses that it would take for all the different schools and the union, I just don't know if they'll ever take that step because, you know, they probably don't have the money for it.
Right. So I think everyone wants it, though, right?
I haven't heard too many people say that they don't want it.
Right.
I mean, what would be the reason for not wanting it? But nobody wants to go watch a 6-4 game.
So. Exactly.
Well, after that loss, you guys had to come back and play for third place for the second year in a row. I know that's a tough game for anyone to get up for mentally, but with it happening to you guys in back-to-back years, you know, what did you guys use for motivation that day?
Right. Even though it is such a hard game to play in, it is an opportunity to come back and be one of two teams to finish the year on a win. And we were given two opportunities, unfortunately, since we had lost in the semis, but to be able to go out on a win is huge. It means everything.
Well, your team came out and rolled to a 66-49 victory over a Linmar team that was led by Marcus Page, the future North Carolina star. You know, I'm sure the opportunity to play against someone like that had to be somewhat motivating as well.
Absolutely. As competitors, it's always fun a challenge to go out and be able to play against some of the top players in the area and in the nation. We played Marcus growing up a long time during the AU circuit growing up. But it was nice to actually get to play him in the high school setting as well. We've had a lot of really good battles with him over the years.
Now, in the girls' state tournament, you know, they don't even have a third-place game, and I've heard some people say that the Boys' Association should maybe do away with it as well. You obviously had a chance to play in two of those games, and they certainly turned out well for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, based on your experiences, you know, are you glad that they had the third-place game, or even so, do you think that they should consider doing away with it?
All along, I'm not a huge fan of the game, but to be in the situation that we were in, I'm very thankful that we were able to go out and play two final games and end with a win. That's a good feeling.
Well, of course, we don't know how this year's tournament is going to turn out yet, but, you know, there's a chance that Aiken Centennial could meet in the third place game, and that would certainly make that game exciting, wouldn't it?
That'd be crazy if they were to meet in either of the final or the semi or the consolation game. It'd be a wild game.
Well, let's talk about this year's tournament. I'm sure you've been down there for the games. Mm-hmm. I'll start with last night's game. Centennial just barely squeaked by Davenport North. You know, what were your general impressions of that game?
I'm just happy they got it done. At this time of the year, as I was telling some of the guys too, that it's survive in advance, and everyone knows that. But it doesn't really matter how well you play as long as you just get the job done. So I'm super excited for them.
Well, it seems like a lot of years, like in the NCAA tournament or whatever term it is, you know, the team that ends up winning it, they have to win a game like that along the way.
They
either get lucky or avoid a last-second shot like that.
Exactly. You know? It's nice that we were kind of joking, like Centennial got their bad one out of the way, and it resulted in a win still, so that's nice.
Well, I know when Davenport North walked out on the court there, and I looked at the size of their team against Centennial's, and Centennial has just really been able to impose their will on teams this year with their size and everything. I just thought they'd be able to dominate them inside, but boy, that team was scrappy, weren't they?
They really were. We were surprised that North had been getting a lot of shots around the rim, and that's something that Centennial does a really good job of limiting those easy shots around the rim with obviously Cody, Micah, Brady Peterson as well around there, but it was just kind of, we were a little shocked with how many easy buckets they got around the rim.
Oh, yeah. Well, now they'll get to Waukee in the semifinals tomorrow night. Did you get a chance to see the Waukee game as well last night?
I did, and I went to the game during the year. That was a really good game, too, but it should be a really good matchup between two really good teams.
Yeah, those two juniors for Waukee, they're pretty special, aren't they?
They're really good. The thing is about Waukee is they're so long in every position. They don't have, like, a huge center, but they do have a lot of length and size in all positions.
Well, in that first game, you know, Centennial built like a 20-point lead, and then Tucker DeVries just kind of took over and almost single-handedly led them back. He finished with 36 points, and I think Centennial was content to just let him do his thing, and boy, he almost brought him all the way back. Do you think they'll try to defend him differently tomorrow? They certainly don't want him to score 36 again.
Right. I saw from when I was at that Waukee game the other night, I think that Centennial needs to get up and maybe give him a little more pressure, make it a little not as easy on him, because he likes to play slow, which is a really good thing. But if they could get up him and speed up his game a little bit, I think that could really help Centennial.
Boy, his length causes some problems. I know in that first game, you know, he could just step back and shoot some threes, or he could shoot some deep threes. It didn't matter how far out you guarded him.
Yeah.
You know, he can still shoot it over you, can't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that, obviously, him being a coach's son, those guys are always in the gym all the time, and they always get to be playing up with the college guys, too. So I'm sure he's put a ton of time in, and he's a stud.
All right, well, let's talk about today's game. Of course, Ankeny advanced with a 68-54 victory over Iowa City West, and that was a matchup that some people, including myself, thought would be a tough one for the Hawks with Iowa City West's size. But, boy, Braxton Bayless just took over. What can you say about his performance?
He was an elite player today, and I think he's a really good player in general. But, yeah, he got after it and had a great day.
Well, you've seen a lot of players over the years. Does he remind you of anybody, the way he can attack the rim?
Can't really think of anyone too specifically, I guess. Does he? How about for you?
I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. I mean, he's just so unique in that way. I mean, I was telling Coach earlier that from where I was sitting today, there's a lot of times he'd get into the lane, go up for a shot, you know, and Bronze or somebody would be there, and you'd think, oh, he doesn't have the angle, or, you know, that's going to be a tough shot. And, boy, he just finds a way to score.
Today he did a super good job of finishing around the rim, and that's obviously what kept Ankeny in the game today. But he finished tons around the rim, and I think he was, 17 for 19 from the line as well. So being able to get to the line is huge also.
Of course, that game didn't start out so well for Ankeny. They got down by 9 in the first quarter, I believe, and they were having a hard time shutting down Bronze. I mean, it kind of looked like they might get ran out of gym, didn't it?
It really did. I was a little nervous at first. Iowa City West always has a great team, and they're coached really well, but they battled back and took the lead and maintained it for what seemed like the majority of the second half.
Now, did you catch any of the second game today?
Yeah.
Cedar Falls and Dowling. Cedar Falls ended up winning that game 64-62, so now the Hawks will get the two-time defending state champs. What do you think is going to be the key in that matchup?
I think Cedar Falls is really big and long, so it's kind of similar to Waukee, but I think they just need to get into, just like I was saying with Centennial and speeding up Waukee, I think they need to, the Hawks need to get up and speed up the game, because that's what they're best at, is playing fast and their guard play. Cedar Falls is a little bigger, and if they could speed up the game like they kind of did today, they had a lot of stuff at the rim today, so that was really good to see, and hopefully they can do that tomorrow.
Now, of course, if Ankeny advances, well, regardless, they're going to have to play three games in 3 days, because the games will be tomorrow, and then Friday they'll play either for the championship or third place. Mm-hmm. You know, do you have any concerns about, you know, their health or being able to play three games in 3 days?
That is tough, three games in 3 days, but, I mean, you either have it or you don't. You come out there and you're just going to give it all, your all every night, so I think that shouldn't be a problem, although it is a grind.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They'll help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you're buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, we're visiting with former Ankeny basketball standout Cole Myers. And Cole, I also wanted to ask you about your old Truman State squad. I see the Bulldogs won the Great Lakes Valley Conference Tournament title on Sunday for the first time, and that was the program's first conference tournament crown since 1999. Boy, they're having a great year, aren't they?
They really are, yeah. My brother and I watched the semis game as well as the championship game, and it looks like they're just really playing well right now. I think I just saw their ranked number 18 that came out today. But, yeah, to be able to be in the national tournament, that's exciting.
Of course, former Centennial star Hunter Strait is a sophomore who starts for them. You know, did you expect them to have the kind of season that they've had?
I know they had the potential, and they're obviously clicking on the right ways right now, but I think we have one of the best D2 players in the country in Broderick Thomas. He's just a stud. I think he can go play really high-level basketball at the next level. Hunter has had a great year as well. He's had an immediate impact even going back to last year, but they're fun to watch, and they're grooving right now.
Well, Truman State has earned a berth in the NCAA tournament and is seeded second in the Midwest Regional. Do you think they have a chance to make some noise in the tournament?
I really hope so. The thing that's nice is we play against Ferris State, and when I was in my last year, I guess it was Corey's last year, and I was a GA on the bench, but we played against Ferris. I think it was a 2-7, so the rankings are switched this year, but it'd be nice to get a little revenge on them. So.
Sure. Well, the Bulldogs will be playing on Saturday in Indianapolis, and I was going to ask you if you're going to try to make it to the game, but I heard just as I was coming over here today that the NCAA has now announced that there won't be any fans at the NCAA tournament. I assume that's going to be the case for Division II, won't it?
I assume, yeah. That's crazy.
So were you guys planning to go to the game? Or?
We didn't, because we had planned on going down to the Big 12 tournament this weekend.
Oh, okay.
And we were hoping that Truman would host the tournament in Kirksville, but Indy got that, so we were upset about that.
Well, what do you think of this whole coronavirus thing? Do you think it's okay for the Iowa State tournament to be held? I also heard the Nebraska tournament is going to be played now without fans.
Yeah. I don't know really how to judge it right now. It's just kind of unfortunate. It sounds like the NCAA tournament, like you said, is going to be without fans. That's going to be really, really weird.
Yeah, it's just a crazy deal. I know I was planning to go down to Atlanta with some buddies for the games, and we didn't have tickets yet, but chances are we probably won't be going now.
Right. Too bad.
Well, Cole, before I let you go, I want to give you a chance to talk about what you and Corey are doing now. I know you guys are still heavily involved with the game in a lot of ways. You just started a new business venture, right?
That's right. Yeah, Corey and I are running a basketball player development and skills training business that we're really passionate about. We're very fortunate to the Moulton family here in Ankeny to be able to work out of their private gym on the southwest side of town. Without their gym, it'd be difficult for us to do what we do just because with gym space and everything, but very fortunate for them. Our number one goal is just to continuously keep getting our athletes better. And that's what we want for our athletes, is just to continuously improve and to keep them ahead of the pack, so to say.
Well, you gotta love seeing two Ankeny teams in the semifinals. Yes. And I'm sure you've had a lot to do with the success some of these kids have had.
A lot of people come and say, give us a lot of credit, and we appreciate that a lot, but we always say it's always our athletes that are putting in the work. We're just a little step of the journey that we get to go through it with him. But it's really nice. Yeah, it's exciting time for Ankeny Hoops.
Well, Cole, thanks a lot for coming today. Really appreciate it. And, you know, good luck with the new business venture. Probably see you down at the well later in the week.
Thank you, Dan, for your time. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, my final guest tonight was a longtime assistant coach for the Ankeny boys basketball team under head coaches Larry Ireland and John Peterson, and he still follows both Ankeny teams very closely and also stays busy doing some scouting for Centennial coach Bob Fontana. He is Dave Kissinger. Dave, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a very, very fun and exciting time of year, and last night was a major event, and this afternoon was a major event. Thank goodness we've got two of the top four teams in the state, and we'll find out in the next couple of days where they're placed.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Let's start with last night. Of course, Centennial squeaked by Davenport North, 53-51. You know, was that the kind of game you expected?
No. You know, I had hoped and anticipated that Centennial would play a little better. I do want to point out some things, though, that are important. Centennial did shoot more than 50% from the field. They had 13 turnovers, which, had, you know, down there the first time for a lot of these young people. That figure's a little high, but not too bad. They out-rebounded their opponent. They won the ball game. You know, you win in advance, and that was the goal. It's been a long time since they struggled that much, but I have faith and confidence in the fact that that game is out of them. They've moved on, and they're ready to go and battle against Waukee tomorrow.
Well, we'll talk about that game here in a minute. It's certainly going to be an interesting one. But I thought when Davenport North walked out on the court, I mean, just look at the two teams. They just didn't have nearly the size that Centennial has. And Centennial's been able to dominate teams
right.
with their, you know, superior size and rebounding. You know, I just really thought they'd be able to do that again. But, boy, that was a scrappy team, wasn't it?
It's a scrappy team. And I was having a conversation with someone about the fact that our bigs had trouble getting loose. And I said, you got to realize this. That team's played almost 25 games. And like you say, they weren't real tall, but they were real scrappy, and they did what we call swarm the post. When the ball went inside, three or four people went in, and they were very, very good at it. They were very good at taking away any movement from the post of Centennial once they got the ball. You don't get to be downtown and be a bad team. And that's a team that won, you know, they had a new coach They were 1-3 after the first four games of the year. Then they came on, and they lost, I think, 3 of 5 near the end of the season by 1 point, and they battled. I watched on tape, they battled North Scott to a 1 point a loss. And, mm-hmm. So and North Scott did come back on Waukee very well also. So, you know, there's just good basketball played there. They're good coaches, and they're good players, and they work hard, and they know what they're – They know what their identity is, and they try to do it. But our, to the credit of our young men, they came back and made the crucial plays when they needed to, and they advanced to the next round.
Well, I kind of thought Davenport North, because they're a young team, they got a lot of juniors that play, that maybe they got to the state maybe a year ahead of schedule, and they had to win 3 games to get to state. Oh, maybe they'd be one of those teams that's just kind of happy to be there. They'd show up, you know, they'd take their loss and go home. But, man, they weren't intimidated at all, were they?
No, they weren't intimidated. And like I said, when I scouted the North Scott and Davenport North tape, there was no intimidation there. In fact, North Scott had to make both ends of the 1-1 to win that ball game against Davenport North when they played. So we weren't surprised at all. Sometimes it's hard to make young people realize that just because the team has a record that is not a very there's not one of the better records down there that they they can, in fact, cause you a lot of problems, and they did. There's another team that's in 3A. Did you happen to notice how bad Pella got beat?
I did. Yes, I did.
Well, Pella got beat by Sergeant Bluff Luton, and Sergeant Bluff Luton is going to cause all kinds of problems for Norwalk with their size, too. So, you know, and that's another thing down there. Sometimes matchups favor one style of play versus the other.
Well, in that centennial game, I believe 4 of the 5 starters played the entire game for the Jaguars. And we'll talk more about the Ankeny game later, but Ankeny also played their starters a lot today. And they're going to have to play 3 games in 3 days. Are you concerned at all for either team that they're going to have to, you know, ride those guys as much as they have to for those 3 games?
Well, you're always concerned about depth. You're concerned about depth. You're concerned about such things as possible injury. And you're worried, and with all of the things that are happening in the outside world, there are a number of things. But I also noticed minutes played. I looked on the stats and minutes played. I thought I saw 3 had 32, but possibly 4 had played 32 minutes. You worry about it, but these are young people. A lot of times they're riding the adrenaline so much that come Friday night about 10 o'clock, their wheels are just going to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're just going to require a lot of rest. But this is such a special thing, something that you practice for, look forward to your entire life. A lot of times they'll just go on adrenaline. But, yes, if you have that depth and can give people a rest, you know, it's in your favor.
Well, Centennial will now get Waukee, and I don't know how much of that Waukee game you saw the other day. They had an impressive win over North Scott. Pretty much had it under control. They did have to hold them off there at the end. But, you know, that's going to be a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing about Waukee. If people happen to watch the Hawkeyes, Iowa Hawkeyes play against Purdue, those 2 games, Purdue just went right over the top of them. And Waukee, with starters of 6'4", 2 of them at 6'6", 2 of them at 6'7", the starting lineup like that, they have that same type of capability. You've got to make sure that you're guarding people. You have to try to dictate tempo. You have to respond to what they're doing. Some of the older Sanford young man and DeVries have extreme range. They're going to hit some long baskets, but you got to realize that, you know, it's if it's a 3-point shot, it doesn't matter if they're just barely over the line or if they're out by half court. So I thought Ankeny Centennial played a very good game against them over on their court, beat them on their court. They understand what they have to do. So it's just a matter of going out and trying to duplicate a performance that will lead you. You've got to be, you got to take advantage of what they give you. We're going to have to drive some. We're going to have to hit some outside shots. We're going to have some rebounds. We're going to have to make them do some things that they don't want to do and they're uncomfortable doing.
Yeah, I thought that was probably Centennial's most impressive win of the season. I think they led by about 20 in that game at one point. Just really, you know, landed that first punch against Waukee. I don't know if they knew what hit them, but, Waukee was able to battle back. They pretty much had DeVries just going one-on-one, and he almost single-handedly led him back. He finished with 36 points in that game. So I don't know if Centennial will try a different way to defend him this time. Do you think there's something different that they can do to try to slow him down?
Well, you know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they – you know, and this isn't coming from Coach Fontana and his group, but but they can alternate defenses. They can change up defenses. They can go, you know, if you want to call it a junk defense, a triangle and two, a diamond and one, a box and one. They can go, you know, man on a miss and make on a they can go zone there. There's a number of things they can try to do just to slow them down a little bit, but ultimately it's going to come down to the fundamentals. You know, you have to play defensive fundamentals regardless of what defense you're in, whether it be a man or whether it be a zone. The big thing is if we can control the defensive board so they get one shot. Last night we had too many opportunities for our opponents to get a second shot. So the rebounding will be key. Keeping our, like I said, keeping the starters out of foul trouble is also going to be another key.
Well, I don't think that Centennial was necessarily tight last night, but I'm sure they had some first game jitters being in state for the first time. Now that they have that game out of the way, do you think maybe they can play a little more looser tomorrow?
Well, I think you'll find that with all the teams. The second game, they're going to be a lot more relaxed.
Well, now let's talk about Ankeny. They had the win today over Iowa City West, 68-54. You know, what an incredible performance by Braxton Bayless. He had 41 points and 10 rebounds. You've seen a lot of games at State over the years. I told Coach Carlson this, that I don't know that I've ever seen a better individual performance. You know, have you?
Well, he was it said he was 12 out of 20 from the field, and he was 17 out of 19 from the free throw line with 10 rebounds for a 6'1" guard, you know, against a program that's one of the very storied programs in high school basketball in the state of Iowa in 4A, a program that has put out a number of college players. It was tremendous. The other thing I think that would be very remiss on my part is if I didn't mention how hard the entire team played for 32 minutes. They worked. And they played, they executed their game plan. It was easy to see what they were doing in their game plan. They weren't going to guard anybody from the three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were going to help out of all they could on this individual. Their center was so big, someone said he reminded him of the individual that was in Rocky II from the Soviet Union. And he's a big, lightheaded young man. And he is a tremendous physical specimen. And they had three guys on him a lot of the night. When the ball went in inside, they swarmed the post. And he, you know, this young man can shoot over his left shoulder and over his right shoulder. And so they did a great job. It was just a tremendous team effort. And Bayless does such a good job of finishing. You know, but by that I mean he at the end of his drive towards the basket, it doesn't matter what side of the basket he's on or what whatever. He uses great judgment to try to avoid the charge, and can shoot very well with either hand. He is a tremendous basketball player.
Yeah, you talked about the physical play in the lane and having three guys on Bronze at times. You know, and the refs did call the game pretty tight. They called a lot of fouls to try to keep things clean, but there still was a lot of pushing and shoving going in there. I mean, it was just a war inside there, wasn't it?
When is 4A not a war?
Yeah, you know, good point.
It's very, very physical. You know, they do have the advantage in college and in pros of having that semicircle for the block charge. They don't have it in high school yet. And when I was there before, I said, it's something that needs to occur. But the officials will do as good a job as they can, and they can't do any better than how the kids play. And Dallin, Catholic, they also battled. They battled back from, I think they were down, the worst they were down, I think, was 7 points maybe. But they kept it close. And, you know, in their game, we should be very, very proud of how our conference teams are playing downtown.
Yeah, it would have been neat to have an all CIML Final Four. We got three, and that's still pretty good.
It'd be neat to have an all Ankeny Final.
We have a chance for that. So, well, we were talking about the physical play in that game, and I was telling a friend of mine afterwards, you know, the way they were calling that game. You know, Nolan Otten got a couple fouls there early on, but he just didn't have a chance. I mean, he played 9 minutes and fouled out.
No.
That's not really surprising the way they called the game.
Well, no, the game, you know, he plays very hard, and he's a great shooter, especially from the baseline area. But sometimes the game gets a little fast for him, and that's when he has struggles with picking up fouls, I think.
Well, I talked with Coach Carlson about Jackson Smith today because he had a kind of a rough day, got a little foul trouble as well, and he didn't end up playing as much as he normally does. But, boy, they had some other kids step up, didn't they?
Coach Carlson has done a great job of developing young people on his team throughout the entire year. He puts a lot of trust in those people. He does a tremendous job of coaching his young men, and like I say, those young people that he's got a couple sophomores and a couple juniors coming in, they have confidence and they understand what his system is.
Well, now the Hawks will get Cedar Falls, and I don't know a whole lot about them other than what the stats show. I know they have a very balanced team, and they've got some size. What do you think are going to be the keys to that game?
I was very impressed with Cedar Falls. I know they're led by number two, a guard, I guess, who's getting a lot of college looks, and the big, they've got the junior who started last year as a sophomore, number 11.
Corbett, I think, yeah. Or Allendyke, maybe? Or
Allendyke's the guard.
Okay.
And they had a wing that I think is also a good football. Is there Logan?
Landon Wolf. He's the younger brother of the other Wolf, yeah.
Landon Wolf. Those are two outstanding players. And the other players very much understand their role. They brought in three subs and immediately changed defenses. They will be changing defenses against Ankeny, so they're going to have to be aware of that. They're all good rebounders. They're very patterned in what they're trying to do offensively. They'll get up and down the floor in transition. They probably, of all of the teams down there, I would say they probably have the most depth.
Well, Coach Carlson talked to me about how they did do the switching defenses. I'm sure they saw what Braxton Bayless did to that Iowa City West defense. Do you think there's anything special that they'll try to slow him down? I mean, you can't guard him like you would normally guard a normal guy.
No. the one thing about being in a zone is that means they are responsible for an area, but it also means they can leave their individual man. So it may be a situation that what they try to do is they try to run two or three people at him each time he comes down the floor. So he has to battle through, quite a fence line of bodies to get to where he wants to get. He can pull up and hit the jumper. He did that once tonight, or this afternoon. And he also, I think he hit a three also. Maybe not, but his big thing is finishing off the drive. And he does such a good job of keeping the ball away from the opponent. So they have to foul him. And I think the other thing that I'd noticed, especially when the game got in its latter stages, was when they decided they wanted to run, he is extremely fast with the ball.
One thing I worry about him, though, is that the Hawks just ask him to do so much between the ball handling, the rebounding, the playing defense, and playing the whole 32 minutes that, I know these kids are young, and they can probably play three games in 3 days, but as much as he has to do, I worry about him wearing down a little bit.
And there's no question, because, like you said, he is – he's a senior, he's a 17 or 18-year-old young man, and he's got emotions and feelings and everything else like that. And I'm sure he was looking very much forward to this being his first opportunity to play in the state meet. You could see that he was really jacked up at the beginning. And the emotional wear and tear will come, but I'm sure that the coach will say, hey, we aren't going down there tonight to watch any more games. I noticed they did watch the end of the Cedar Fall games. Let's go home, let's get something to eat, let's get some rest. This is our job for the next couple of days.
Well, regardless of how these games turn out tomorrow night, we know we're going to have some good matchups, on Friday, no matter what they are. There's a chance that Ankeny could play Centennial again, either for first place or third place. It'd be fun to see that matchup, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'd rather see it at 8:15 on Friday night.
I would, too. I'd only have to go to one game that day then instead of two. So.
That's right. But, I hope the people in this community realize that it's a special thing. 7 years ago, there was a lot of people were unhappy when the split was made, and it's about you can say it's about what's best for kids because who would guess that 7 years later that we would have two of the top four teams in 4A that could possibly be playing for a state championship.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, and we've talked about this before this season, but with Centennial coming off a 9-13 record last year, I don't think anybody saw this kind of success coming.
No, the work that's been done with the post, with Micah Johnson and with Cody McCullough, those young men are very, very good. And the coach has just spent hours and hours, and we had the young man to make move from Ankeny to Centennial, and that's been a good move for him. It's been a good move for everybody involved, and Preston Callion being on varsity for either 3 or 4 years. He's shown much more leadership this year. He's taken the bull by the horns. His defense is much better. His offense is much better. His team concept is very good. And then and Connor coming in to fill that fifth spot. They've enjoyed playing with each other. That's quite obvious, and they've enjoyed being coached.
When you mentioned Jaron's move from Anki to Centennial, and we've talked about this before in the podcast this year, but he really filled a need over there at Centennial and has really been a big part of their success. And in a way, maybe it's helped Ankeny because maybe Braxton doesn't blossom the way he has if Jaron's there, because then, you know, they have to share the ball a little more.
And if you remember back to the first couple games, Jaron was more of a shooter than he was, running the team. Now, his shots are down, but what he's doing is he is orchestrating what is happening with that team. His assists are way up. He's doing a tremendous job. He's really grown a lot, I think, as an individual, and he's grown tremendously as a player. He is a point guard now.
Well, Kiss, we talked about this earlier with Coach Carlson. They said earlier today that the Nebraska State tournament is going to be played without fans, and you may have heard that the NCAA tournament has announced now that they're going to be play the entire tournament without fans. And this story just is rapidly evolving. I don't know if there's any chance if, like, in the next day they could decide here at the Iowa State tournament that they won't have any fans. But are you concerned at all about going to the games and attending these games with fans?
Dan, I just came off of 4 bypasses. Spent 50 years of my life working in education. And you know what? I'm very respectful of all those moves those people are making, but life is for living for me. I want to go to games. I want to support our families, our kids, our coaches, our administrators. Maybe they'll say, hey, you're an old man. It doesn't matter anyway. But I came home last night, or I guess I stopped to have a bite to eat, and I saw that USC and UCLA were going to have no people were going to be allowed, no fans allowed into their games. I understand what they're doing. I respect what they're doing. But, I'm not going to worry that much about tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm not either as far as, catching the virus myself. But I just wonder what these games, if they play them without any fans, the atmosphere at the games is just not going to be the same.
No, because absolutely not.
That's such a big part of it.
You know, what's any different than that in a scrimmage?
Yeah.
as a high school athlete, and a college athlete, you had the number of scrimmages, and they're fun because you see different people than the normal people that are beating on you and you're beating on a daily basis. But you're right, I had the opportunity to do a little filming with the Historical Society, and it was about championship teams and everything else. And I said, the reason that we have athletics, the reason that we have show choir, the reason that we have drama and debate and these things is to add something to the educational experience aside from just classroom and textbook learning. And they're very important. You can tell they're important by the way that the community supports them and by the way they attend them and things of this nature. But somebody at that top level in those whether it's in the colleges or whatever, has to make the decisions, and I respect the decisions they make. It's just that, personally, I'd rather spend my time engaged in enjoyable things, and I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah. All right, Kiss. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming in today. Enjoyed the conversation. These next couple of days should be fun. I'll probably see you down there at the well.
And once again, what you are doing for our community and what you're doing for the young people in Ankeny is just top notch. I mean, you are our information gathering source about activities in our community, and you are to be praised greatly for it. It's the first thing I look at every day on the computer when I get up.
Well, I appreciate that, Kiss. I do. Your check's in the mail. So,
thank you.
All right.
Bye.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. I know it's been a busy week for all of them, but really enjoyed the conversations with all three of those guys. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at MikeStanbro, that's STANBROUGH, at IwaRealty.com. Next week will be spring break here in Ankeny, but hopefully we'll have another podcast. We might recap the state tournament, especially with some of the Centennial guys who weren't able to make it today. So hopefully come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.